Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surf and Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Welcome to Wednesday's Catch a Wave with the Surf and Cowgirl. It is raining again today in LA, and we are so thankful for the moisture. Kim, are you out there surfing the airwaves?
I am.
Okay, you've been
up here in Northern California. I love it.
What's going on? It raining or snowing or both?
It is raining.
Okay.
We are finally getting some rain. I feel like there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Awesome.
And it's not a train.
Okay, awesome. Okay, being the corn farmers out there in Moore County up there by Cactus, Texas, it was like pure money coming from the sky, you know, as corn growers. We're out there in a multi-billion dollar agricultural industry with the world's feeder cattle industry. And we love those California dairymen. They came in and they're doing a great job out there. But my dad, you know, was a dryland farmer over in Dewey County, Roger Mills County. And like I said, it's just pure money when it rains, because we would have 63 bushel dryland wheat sometimes. And I'm just so thankful for where life has taken me, I can just appreciate the little things in life, like when we get moisture, because it just helps our environment and feeds our cattle, feeds our people. And I think we always had a pride as corn growers. We produce something. We feed America and its cattle. So thankful for the rain. Gonna go straight into Wish on Wednesday. And this week, because we're, you know, catching a wave at the Surfing Cowgirl, we are doing a philanthropic endeavor with Oshana. And Oshana is a fabulous organization that is restoring the ocean. And when we save our oceans, we're feeding the world. And restoring our oceans could feed up to 1 billion people as a healthy seafood meal every day. And so we're just so thankful for the work of Oshana. They're actually connected to the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and they are an organization that is exclusively to protect and restore the oceans on a global scale, and they fill a gap.
Wow.
Yeah, they're an international organization, but they do work, you know, here on the West Coast in California. And they're dedicated to achieving measurable change by conducting specific and scientifically based policy campaigns with articulated goals across the globe. And the Ocean Law Project, it was founded by an environmentalist, but they have had over 200 victories and protected more than 4.5 million square miles of ocean. And so, you know, it's just very, very important that we are combating that, you know, even on a little scale here in California, we have a struggle with plastic. And so one of my favorite things today that I'm going to talk about is one of my friends is, she's one of my gal pals. She's has come up with a bamboo straw company. And I just love, love, love what she's doing over there at Sip to Life. And so she's just one of my favorite people and one of my favorite things. And I have so many things to say, great things to say about my little fellow Texas gal, Karami, and her company, Sip to Life. So I want to talk a little bit about bamboo straws, and her website is www.sip2life.com. And everyone, you know, we've all seen that picture of the poor turtle with the straw stuck up in his nose. And it just makes us think about what plastic straws and plastic bags do in our environment. But and how that is destroying our oceans and what we need to do about cutting down on our plastic use. And when I'm down on the beach every day, I try to go to the beach every day and enjoy the ambiance of it, but I'm always picking up plastic bags and plastic sacks. And so, you know, we all have to do our part. And she's, you know, she at Sip to Life has absolutely done her part. I always say, be the change you want to see. She's come up with this wonderful biodegradable bamboo straw. And, you know, bamboo is a fabulous resource because it grows naturally and it's biodegradable. And it's easy.
It grows extremely fast
and easily, and it does not have added pesticide or chemicals in fertilizer. And so this does a drastic change for the better in our animal and marine life and our environment as a whole. And bamboo could be considered one of the most environmentally friendly and sustainable plants. And bamboo produces more than 30% oxygen than other trees. And of course, that's going to help in our fast growing climate change. But this is just a wonderful bamboo straws, Sip to Life, a wonderful alternative to plastic straws that, you know, pollute our environment and our oceans. And like I said, the straws are 100% natural, made of real bamboo. They do not have dyes or harmful chemicals, and they're 100% biodegradable. Each straw is handmade, and they can be ordered in unique colors, textures, diameters, and I use these straws, and I carry these straws, and they're easy to clean, they're durable, and they don't mold. You can reuse them, and so this is, you can have an authentic customization. You can have your corporate name put in there, and they offer, she's got a lot going on, my little friend Karami. She's, like I said, she's a Texas gal, and she is just winning with her bamboo straw company. But, you know, they have certain straws, like, you know, if you want big straws for smoothies or if you want a coffee straw, but I prefer the big straws. But you wash these with mild soap and hot water or vinegar, but you can use them for cocktails. But bamboo, we love this. And, you know, you can boil them in hot water and, like I said, use a little distilled vinegar on them to sterilize them. But a little background on her company. She formed this company just this last year. And check her out at Sip to Life, www.siptolife.com. And I believe it was in April. So she is a new startup female entrepreneur. And I know we are going to talk about women in business today and the successful habits of entrepreneurs. And we're always, you know, vibing the tribe. We're supporting women. And we can't say enough about all the successful women that we know in our lives. But Kim, talk to me a little bit about what your thoughts are and who around you is having great success in female entrepreneurial businesses.
Well, I am very blessed to have a lot of really strong women in my tribe,
yep,
as I say. And, you know, one of the favorite quotes that one of my dear friends, Julie Patterson, told me about was, surround yourself with people that are where you want to be, not where you are.
Amen.
You know, you got to have some vision. And I'm just very blessed to have a lot of really strong women with great vision, great drive, that not only, I don't only have to push myself, but through their strength, I'm pushed.
Motivated.
And I just thought that, yeah, very motivated. And I just love that. But she gave me four really great points that are things that she is doing in her business. And first is be kind.
Yep.
Crazy. I know it. But being good to people and building relationships has been key to her success.
Relationships matter. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Number two, focus on what you are doing good and delegate the rest.
Yes.
So, you know, some people are just not really good at organization. So you delegate someone else to do that organization stuff, and you can focus on business development.
Yep.
Or relationships in business or advertising or whatever it is. If you're not given it, find someone that is, hand that off to them, and focus on your strengths so you can grow your business that way.
Pay a professional to do a professional job is what we say. Pay a professional to do a professional job. Like, I'm not a natural born accountant, and so I need someone to help me in that area. So absolutely in total agreement with that.
Number three, push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
All the good stuff happens out there.
Yep. In the land of, let me see, unlimited possibility and opportunity, but you got to get out there and get uncomfortable. So yes, total agreement with that.
So I love that. And she's just really rocking it out here in our little town of Loomis, California. And she doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk.
Yeah.
And she started a really neat page called Positively Placer.
Yes.
And it has grown tremendously. I think we're up to almost 450 people, members, in a little over a week.
Okay, great. And we were doing a shout out about that last week. And so that's yep. great growth. 400 new members in a week. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I have something positive to add. To
making strides.
That's great strides. Okay, so this was one of my favorite quotes to go in with what you're saying, and it's by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said, "It is one of the beautiful compensations of this life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself." So that goes back to, it's just good karma and good energy. It's just a great mirroring effect to be kind. And I always say, make it count. Be the change you want to see. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. When you don't know what to do, get up and move. Move, move, move. You'll gain momentum. Movement heals. But I also say this a lot. I self-preach and self-talk. And I'm like, when you get a plan that is bigger than yourself, watch out, because God and all the angels of heaven and the universe itself is going to get behind you. And that's when you're going to really, really move with fluidity, productivity, ease, and success. So I love it.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. So he says, you know, the greatest levels of contentment and self-satisfaction are experienced by those who have found a way to serve others. In addition to the true inner joy that is created by serving others, it's a universal principle that you cannot serve others without it not coming back multiplied to yourself. So I always say, give it away to get it, give it away to keep it. And you just keep getting up there, and regardless of what is happening to you or how you're feeling or what you're going through, give your kindness, give your love, give your mercy, give your grace, give your power of positivity, you know, give your peace away, give your gift away. We're not all gifted in the same areas, but I have never, ever in my life had a problem with you know, wanting something else that someone else had, because I feel like, you know, Kim, you and I have totally different gift sets, but we do share some of the same. But I don't sweat it because I'm like, hey, I got you. I don't need your tool set because I know I can come borrow your tools, you know, out of your tool chest, and vice versa. And so, you know, I always say, vibe your tribe. You got to get in like mind. You got to get around like-minded people that are promoting you, that are cheering you on, that are lifting you up, that are rooting for you, and that have your back. And so, but yeah, I agree. Pay a professional to have a professional job. And here we are. We're nearly to the end of a decade. We have 28 days left in this year. And so I am like hoping to challenge myself and make it count, making it count the last 28 days of this decade. Another decade has this 10 years has gone so fast. This year has gone so fast. Yeah. And so how are we going to make it? So. How are we going to make it count? But, and you know, I'm going to go back to write it down. 12 years ago, I made a list of 25 things. In 4 years, I had about 23 of those tackled. They were big things. And it's so wonderful for me to have such strong, intelligent, successful women around me that mentor me. And just yesterday I was, you know, chatting and I said, okay, I came all this way to LA. I wanted to bring Jesus to LA. I wanted to find Jesus in LA. I wanted to preach the gospel. But what I really wanted to do was I had a passion and an ambition to just bring love and grace and go make myself uncomfortable and challenged in a bucket list approaching 50 years old and approaching the end of this decade. I wanted to test my adaptability. I wanted to make myself uncomfortable. I wanted to throw myself, you know, throw myself out there in the deep end and see if I could not just survive, but maybe I could thrive. I wanted to challenge myself. And it's been awesome to be in such a diverse melting pot. And I'm a people person. Of course, I love to be private, but I'm a people person. I like people. I have extreme, but I've had such a wonderful experience, you know, living on the West Coast. And we always say, we would joke at our house when they would, we'd watch the show Undercover Boss, and they'd go in and work somewhere undercover, you know, secretly. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to go in and like see how successful businesses are ran and how they have, you know, how they have such great secrets for success in business. But also I would love to go live in every state in the United States, even if it was just for a month, you know, because of course you and I've been all over Texas and now you've been all over California and I've covered a lot of California, but there's still so many wonderful, beautiful places in California I haven't been able to visit yet. You know, like I want to go spend a lot of time at Yosemite and, you know, and Joshua Tree and things like that. So I'm getting there. But, you know, it's just fun to go and experience every state in the United States. And it's people. And, you know, where we come from, Kim, being from Oklahoma, we've got such a wonderful, we have one of the largest natural gas veins in the United States in Roger Mills County. You know that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
then ma'am. Out there at Amarillo, we have Amarillo, Texas. We have a big helium patch. And so it's you know, and then we have Pantex, you know, out in Amarillo. And we have Bell Helicopter, where the Osprey was invented. And, you know, so out, woohoo, shout out to the Yellow Rose of Texas, the city, you know, the Yellow City. So the Osprey for our military was, it was designed and developed and it's manufactured right there at Bell Helicopter in Amarillo, Texas. And, again, we just got, you know, so many wonderful things that you and I are aware of. And we know, we know a lot of secrets of success in our industries. And, but today we're focusing on, you know, secrets of success in business, women who've had a lot of success in business. And we're just making a shout out to our young entrepreneurial women who are up and coming. And, you know, I've gotten to know your daughter, Sierra, a lot better. And, she's a little go-getter and she's a young girl that has had great success at her current job and her journey at her journey as a student. And she's just kind of a natural born leader like her mom and her grandmother and Donna Merrick. And so it's, you know, I always tell my kids, winning is a habit and so is losing and excuses. And, it's funny how, when you create a habit of winning, it always comes from a place of positivity. And so, but talk a little bit about any other thoughts you had on your mind, or talk a little bit about Sierra and how she, it's been fun to watch her have success as a student, have success as a young girl in her sorority. And now she just is thriving in her current employment. And so it's fun to watch these young girls and these young entrepreneurs.
Well, of course, I can brag on my kids.
Go. Brag on her. Brag on your girl. Because she's a good girl. She's a beautiful girl. And your niece, Ashley.
She is a good girl.
Ashley's had a wonderful journey. I've gotten to know your niece, Ashley. And it's fun to watch these girls, these young girls have success. And hopefully they had some smart, strong women blaze some trails before of them. So.
Well, yeah, of course they have. You know, I have always been so proud of my mama. She taught me well through her path and journey through life, and she led by great example.
Yes.
And she was one of the first five women stockbrokers for Merrill Lynch.
Yes.
And this was back in 76 when women didn't really get into business in that field. So she started a chapter of an organization called Executive Women International in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, love it.
And what she did was, this organization was built on, you take one person from an industry. So she was the stockbroker. And then there would be a woman that was in insurance sales, and a woman that was a banker, and one that was a lawyer and a doctor and a whatever, you know. And they put this group of women together, and there was only one in the field allowed. And they brainstormed, and they did philanthropy, and they encouraged each other to think outside of their own world, because so many times you get tunnel vision in what you're doing. And so I was always proud of my trailblazer mother and what she did. And there was never anything that she would get tripped up on. She would just power through it. And she was smart, and she was just always thinking outside the box. So
yeah.
I've always tried to emulate that and pass that on to my daughter. And she has done a lot of really great things in her 22 short years on this planet. And, you know, she works hard. And she's not too scared to work hard.
Yeah.
And school has always been something she's really good at, but she worked hard at it. Now her brother,
he still does good. I know. And so here we go. Like that brings me to the ebb and the flow, and we're back to the balance. Like, okay, so we're vibing. So you can say, you know, our energy, our vibe, our focus, whatever. So it's like, you want a balance in everything. So one of the habits of successful people is getting up early and working mm-hmm. hard. And that comes to, you will eventually come to your due diligence. But then the other thing, yeah. And so, and I always say this, talent, I mean, hard work beats talent any day when talent won't work hard. And so yep. getting up, young people, if you're out there listening, get up early in the morning. I saw a guy say, if you're in LA and you're not starting your day at 5 a.m., you're late, because on the East Coast, they're already up working. So when you're on the West Coast, you got to start your day much earlier. And no one ever was allergic or was known to not be successful because they didn't get up early. Getting up early is a very, very good habit. And I was just talking about this the other day. I was like, my, you know, I had a trainer and she would start our training sessions to work out at 4:30 in the morning. And so she would take her first client at 4:30 in the morning. And I love that, because by 6 a.m., you could already be to the gym and have your workout done. And literally, my day is done by noon. I literally have worked a full day by noon and then I get to go relax. But I don't know if you noticed or not, I'm wound, I'm hyper, I have lots of energy. I go, 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 go. So a 15, 18 hour day is like enjoyable to me. But after about 12, I can go to bed, and that may mean go to bed at 6 p.m. So it's funny. I've been in California quite a while, but I stay on Texas time because I don't like to be 2 hours behind. And then when I go back to Texas, I don't want to be, you know, out of sorts and everything. But I love this. I was just flipping through one of my favorite books, and this is Sylvester Stallone talking, actor, writer, director. And so it talks about, you know, don't, in business and as a young entrepreneur and as a young female that is striving for success, don't be afraid of rejection. And Sylvester Stallone says, I take rejection as someone blowing a bugle in my ear to wake me up and get me going rather than to retreat. And so it said that he endured over 12,500 rejections. Now, this is Sylvester Stallone. He was told no. This is right here. This is him speaking. He experienced over 12,500 rejections in his career. And if wow. he hadn't have kept going, we wouldn't have our Rocky. And I'm going to tell you, I love me some Rocky. I'll never forget going to see the first Rocky at the drive-in theater in Weatherford, Oklahoma. And I saw Rocky at the drive-in theater, and it was like, I can't even explain to you. And I'm a sucker for a drive-in theater. I want to talk a little bit about Steven Spielberg. He applied and was rejected two times by the prestigious USC Film School. Now, when we came to town in May, we went over and visited USC Music School. And so Steven Spielberg had done quite a philanthropic work over there. And then I came back and I read in this book that he was actually rejected by U.S. Film School, and he ended up at Cal State in Long Beach, and he later went on to produce, a couple of hit movies that we can just kind of, a few blockbusters like E.T. and, you know, Jurassic Park and The Color Purple and Raiders of the... He ultimately gave over $3 billion to USC 27 years later. Okay, so Steven Spielberg was rejected twice by USC Film School, went to Long Beach, California, to Cal State, and then 27 years later, after His greatest blockbuster movies that included, you know, E.T. and Jurassic Park and The Color Purple and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I'm sure he's done some more great hits since this book was written. Then he went back to USC and gave $3 billion 27 years later and has become one of the most famous USC awarded honorary men holding an honorary doctoral degree. And he became a trustee of the university. Okay, so he was rejected by USC. Then he went out and made his way in the world, made his success anyway. Then he went back to USC, gave him $3 billion to, you know, improve upon, say the least, their their film school. And then he's now a trustee. So I would say Steven Spielberg has made it count after rejection. So the point of this is that, you know, you're going to experience rejection. And I always, you know, sing that little song to myself. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You know, so I love that. I want to talk about Google founders. Did I already talk about
can
that?
I interrupt just
you
for,
sure
for
can.
A second
go for it. I'll take a breath.
Before you go any further.
Yeah.
We are going to face adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I never... And this isn't to pat myself on the back, but I never stepped in when my kids were facing adversity, because when they're young, they need to learn how to face adversity.
Yes.
And it's not that I want them to get used to it, but when they're young, the adversity's small. And they got to learn it when they're little, because the bigger they are, the bigger the adversity they're going to face. And if they don't ever learn how to face adversity when they're young, they'll crumble when they're older. So I was never the parent that went to the teacher and said they had a 89.5. Why didn't you give them a 90 so they'd have an A? You know what? You should have worked a little harder to have that 0.5, and we wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Yeah, preparation and chance.
You get what you get.
Yeah, preparation and opportunity. Yeah, were you prepared when the opportunity came along? And luck is described is where preparation and opportunity meet. Some people have a habit of getting lucky. And, you know, I always say, I am highly, highly favored by God. I am one of the luckiest people I know. I am blessed. And I mean, I am blessed, pressed down, shaken up, and running over. And maybe it's because I have a made-up mind. Maybe it's because I'm like, trash in, trash out. Positive in, positive out. I'm going to vibe my tribe. I'm going to, you can call it manifest. You can call it walk by faith, not by sight. You can call it anything you want, but you can call it karma. You can call it dharma. I never ever really understood the difference between dharma and karma, but maybe I'll do a little research on that, or maybe I did know and I forgot. But, you know, it's like back to the balance of life, the yin and the yang, you know, and it's like, it's always interesting to me how, like, the light finally comes on, and it was like not too long ago, I got it. I got the S cut through the circle, through the pie of the symbol of the yin and the yang, because it's not a straight direct cut that makes it 50-50. It's an S curve, and then there's a black dot in the white space, and there's a white dot. And the reason is it's saying we all got a little darkness in our light. If we didn't have darkness, we couldn't shine. The light wouldn't shine if we didn't have a little darkness. Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to shine is to be in the dark sometimes. And then, you know, you got to have a little sand in your salt. You got to have a little grit in you to overcome. But then I go back to meet in the middle. Maybe someday we'll meet back in the middle, as my famous little songwriter Logan writes. Love that back in the middle song. Maybe one of these days we can meet back in the middle. And as Americans, you know, we got to take somebody by the hand and take a stand. We got to fight for each other, not against each other. But I love that golden way of the two thirds. We want to take the one third and we want to widen it out in the two thirds. And we all want to come from the left and we all want to come for the right. And we want to join hands and we want to think about tomorrow and making our businesses success and, you know, doing our best to minimize our debt as Americans. Get up, get moving, get in shape. You know, just movement heals, and in the momentum, something great will happen, and you will attract many, 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 many other great ingredients into your recipe. And by focusing on these habits of success and the POP, I call it the POP, that place of peace, that power of positivity, that's where you're going to come up with a fabulous formula for energy and synergy. And, you know, and there's just chemistry when you get around a lot of successful people. And I had an older lady, she was probably in her upper 70s. And she said, you know, as women, after we, you know, we raise our children and we become empty nesters, then that's kind of when a lot of our careers begin. And, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm now moving into a new decade. I'm 50 to 60. And guess what? I made me a new list. And I made a list of 100 things. And I put some big mountains to climb on there, because one of my really, really good friends in Fort Worth, he's a super successful attorney and oil and gas man, and he's kind of done it all. And I listen to successful people that are balanced and grounded. And he said, it doesn't matter if you don't get to put a check in every one of those boxes of your goals. Because
no, it doesn't.
If you, on your journey, fulfill your divine fulfillment and destiny, if you the destination is found in the journey. That's what I'm trying to say. He said, if you don't get to put a check in every box beside your goal, in the journey, you will have fulfilled your calling, your life mission, your destiny. And, you know, I had a great conversation. We were talking about, you know, one of my burdens that I carry, things that bothers me, is the increase in suicide in our younger generation. And then that is also affecting our younger military veterans. And, you know, some people that study these areas, they think it is lack of ability to adapt into society due to the rapid, you know, assimilation of our technology. And then, you know, it's like we're living too fast. We're in an instant gratification, you know, seeking instant gratification. Then we're taking pills to sleep. Then we're taking pills to calm down. Then we're taking pills to balance out. You know, some people, they medicate with alcohol. And so it's like all these different things. And you've got to have health and balance. And sometimes getting up on your feet and getting outdoors, getting fresh air, getting sunshine, you know, those things are healing and they help us. But we're in a place of, we need to slow down. We need to get back to balance. We talk about this all the time. And, you know, I'm like, don't just send your neighbor a text message or an email. Cook a dish and take it to your neighbor. And let me just say real quick, I think one of my new favorite things is Friendsgiving. So I had, you know, I've done Thanksgiving with friends on a couple occasions. And I just got to say shout out to our buddy Carl, who cooked our Thanksgiving dinner for us. Kim, you and I are great cooks. Your mom's a great cook. Your husband is a fabulous chef. My husband is actually, you know, they've won some awards. They go to like these, cook-off contests to raise money for charities. And, so their team has won something every year, you know, in their smoked meat section. It's kind of comical. But we got some really good chefs around us. But so we went over and Carl was our chef for Friendsgiving. And, I showed up with some really good wine. Shout out to my wine friends, the Taylors up in Sonoma, for California Wine Connection. And so I showed up with dessert and I showed up with some great wine, and Carl put a meal out in front of us that was beyond comprehension. Kim, I could not believe that one man literally made a 15-course meal, and the consistency of it across the board was like a five-star chef. And Carl, by trade, is an interior decorator and designer, but now I know he's a five-star chef. And I said, Carl, you got to open up a restaurant. And he goes, oh, no, girl, we're not making this fun hobby into work. And so that made me think about all the restaurants that you and your, he was like, I enjoy cooking. And then somebody brought a peach cobbler that not only were their dishes beautiful, but they were just divine. And of course, Carl was in there making homemade whipped cream, which I was like, go ahead, just hand me that mixing bowl. I'll just finish that off. But we had such a wonderful, wonderful Friendsgiving with a fabulous meal. And our friends from Dallas, Texas, they moved out and they invited us over. And we had such an incredible day. And we literally were with a group of about 10 or 12, and we met so many wonderful new people, and we all brought a dish. And there were some gentlemen that came from New Orleans, Louisiana, and they brought like a Cajun shrimp and vegetable dish. And so it was just fabulous. And I thought, okay, then I go in there and I'm like, okay, let me clean up and let me clean the kitchen. And they're like, oh no, you're not doing a thing. And so I went and sat down, and you want to talk about just such a pleasure and a joy and a luxury. And I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But tell me a little bit. I know you traveled, you went and celebrated your mom's 80th birthday. And I know you went to Oklahoma, but talk about, I've got some successful tips in business, and I know your mom always practiced these, but it was like getting up early, you're not procrastinating, you're being goal-oriented, you're containing your clutter, you're executing and finishing what you start, and the main thing is to start, and you stay motivated despite your failures, and you keep going. And you keep going, and you keep going. And you have extreme adaptability. Regardless of where you land, you pull yourself up, and you keep going. And so, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, visiting your mom. You had Thanksgiving, and you celebrated her 80th birthday. And I know you had some good food. So tell me, take a few minutes and talk about your trip and you know, just things that you know made your mom and she made it count. I mean, 80 years of, we just watched her be successful, 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 regardless of what she put her hands to.
Yes, yes. And one of the highlights of the trip was a while back, my daughter had been thinking about her grandma and her upcoming birthday, and you know, kind of got a little nervous. And she says, Mom, what if Granddaughter isn't here when I have children? I would really like to have her make a quilt for me for my future baby.
Fabulous.
And I don't mean to be morbid, but, you know, something could happen.
Right.
So I talked to Mom, broached the subject, and she said nothing would make her happier. So again, you talk about having goals and setting goals, and it gave her purpose.
Absolutely.
And so we went and bought the material and sent it all back home. And during this time, you know, she took a really hard left turn, and we didn't know she was going to make it to this birthday, but she bounced back, she rallied, and she got these quilts done and surprised Dakota with quilts as well. So both my kids got boy and girl quilts for their future babies. No, they're not coming down anytime soon, but you know, they just wanted them because they wanted a piece of their grandma.
Oh,
so that was a highlight.
That gave me chill bumps. So just to clarify, Your mother is experiencing her 80th birthday recently. Your entire family, of a very large family, went home, which is in Roger Mills County, Western Oklahoma, and you celebrated your mother's 80th birthday and had Thanksgiving. And just to have a little foresight and a little calculated planning here, your mom made boy and girl baby quilts for your daughter and your son for her future great-grandchildren, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. Yes, ma'am. And then now I bet you everyone else that was there put their orders in.
Well, this was kind of on the DL, the word.
Yep, the down low.
My family that's listening.
Yeah.
But it was kind of on the DL. She wanted to get these done. She does have a few more quilts to do. I had two new great nieces born in the last couple months, Natalie and Sloan. So she's got to get to work on those. But yeah.
Love it.
She has some work to do.
That's so.
So we kind of slid in there ahead of.
Yeah,
Sloan
you were
and
thinking.
Got those.
Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Yeah. Okay. So I love that. Okay, I got my.
But we had over 80 people.
Oh.
Come to her birthday party, and we kind of came in shift, but we did. We were able to get the majority of everyone together for a big family picture. And I think there was 53 in the picture. And the day before, we got a picture of all 8 of the kids together.
Oh.
And we got all the grandsons together and then all the granddaughters together. So we had a lot of photography and a lot of fun and capturing the memories. We did a big slideshow. We had, I think, 400 or 500 pictures in the slideshow of just mixing. Like the goal was a sister here and a brother there, and just not family pictures, but how they intertwined.
Love it.
And lots of family memories with that. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, so
but
awesome.
Back on the track of what we're talking about here with greatness in business, one of the quotes that a friend of mine told me said, greatness is achieved just outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. And it's in that space of it's 100% unknowingness, but it's also 100% of unlimited potentiality and opportunity. And so I have in front of me successful people continue to work on their successful habits. They have success-driven mindset and a passion to achieve. And, you've known me a long time. I'm very spirited. I'm very passionate.
This is so what Toj said. Have passion and strength to never give up. Your passion will give you the strength when you're wanting to give up.
Amen. And, same thing. And so I loved it. Shout out to my people who are coming, they've come out with their book over in Leedy, Oklahoma, Pastors Mark and Jada Haney, and please pick up their book on Amazon, Hope Beyond Brokenness, and it's a wonderful, wonderful victory story. But, Mark was saying that it was his wife Jada's passion and her positive mindset that kept him going in finishing the book during his pain and despair. But successful people have a strong will to succeed and achieve, and they're always mm-hmm. looking forward for growth, and they're deeply rooted in a desire to do much, much more than the average person. And I always say, the difference between extraordinary and ordinary is that little word extra. You put extra mm-hmm. in front of ordinary and it becomes extraordinary. And so people that take action and make positive changes and move outside their comfort zone, even when they fail, they quickly see opportunities and have extreme adaptability and surround themselves with other successful, positive people who celebrate them. And, I say, weed the garden. If somebody is an energy suck, if they're a negative Nelly, we'll push them to the back and you lead, you drive your train. But adjustment and adaptation, when things are going wrong, you have extreme quick confidence and adaptation to move in the right direction. Another good habit is self-aware and self-confidence. Successful people face challenges, but they're confident and they trust their gut and they know their skill set and knowledge. And when you don't know and when you're not skilled and talented in that area, hire a professional to do a professional job, or just go get a professional. You know, I've got you. I don't need to, you and your tribe are so good at so many things. And that's why we're always calling and encouraging one another. And, you know, I have a lot of friends and they're like, okay, I got to call you because you'll really let me, you know, celebrate and yippee and yay. And I'm busting buttons over here because this happened and that. And I was like, yes, 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 Lord. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are blessed, you know, 2, 7, 10 fold. And so, it all comes back to you after you put it out there. But, you know, even when you don't have the right skills or knowledge to begin with, move forward with enthusiasm and commitment to succeed despite the rejection and the odds that are against you. You have to possess a strong sense of self in order to become stronger in your commitments. And then you have to become comfortable walking out and speaking your mind. And successful people are stand-up people. Successful people speak out and they enjoy sharing their ideas and their opinions. And, you know, that's one of the reasons, I tackled this talk show was because it was one of the few things that made me uncomfortable and challenged me. And, you know, unsuccessful people don't genuinely lack confidence. And they aren't usually, yeah, I mean, you gotta like kind of be a little, you know, you kind of gotta like be a little fearless and be willing to get knocked down. And I always say, you can read a book on how to swim and you can read a book on how to ride a bike. But until you take the plunge or get on and go, you're not going to be able to do it. And you're going to wreck the bike a couple of times. You're going to fall over. You're going to have bumps and bruises and skins, but you got to get back up. And then, you know, taking the plunge, you got to jump off there in the deep end. You got to learn how to survive until you can learn how to survive, thrive until you find your, you know, until you find your stroke. But, we got to, you know, have goals that are bigger than ours. We got to have a written goals that, you know, bolder benchmarks so we can aim at large targets. If I am shooting for the moon and I miss, at least maybe I'll land among the stars, you know. And if I'm aiming for the bullseye, at least maybe I'll make the target. But successful people value their time wisely. They are successful people have extreme productivity. They use their time wisely. They take advantage of time and they don't waste it. They create barriers and healthy boundaries. They add structure. They implement systems that respect their clients and peers. And they clearly understand that time is their most valuable asset. Unsuccessful people procrastinate. Unsuccessful people waste time doing unproductive things, and that does not allow for effective growth. And so when you don't allow for effective growth and you don't surround yourself around positive people and successful people to lift you up who have already, you know, there's no sense in reinventing the wheel, you know. Just roll with it, baby. You know, you create, if you're not using your time wisely and being productive, then you are creating fewer income generating opportunities. And, you know, it's like, oh, there it went. I was like, my tablet went, you know, on a cray cray moment. Let me see if I can get back to it. that's why I shouldn't be allowed to run the iPad, but you know.
You want me to jump in here? And
yeah, go ahead.
Read off a few?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have like I said, my tribe is very vast, and I surround myself with women that push me. And another one that pushes me is her name is Sandy, and Sandy was a collegiate softball player, and is in the Softball Hall of Fame here in Sacramento.
Awesome.
And she has always just been so driven, and she has, pardon me, just kicked ass in business.
Yeah.
She's been VP of sales and COO of several different companies, and she doesn't let anything get in her way. So these are just a few of the things that she said had driven her while she was in business.
Awesome.
She still is. But willingness to dive deep into what failing to create a vision for what could be is first. My knack. This means a lot of review and reconciliation, tough for a lot of people to do. Once one knows the points of weakness, they can then create a roadmap, aka a plan toward developing successful outcomes.
Yes. Know the plan and work the plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Find your weakness, fill that void first, and then you can have a stronger foundation.
And you know, we say get the plan, know the plan, and work the plan. Don't be distracted. Work the plan.
Yeah.
Work the plan.
The guts to take chances.
Yes.
And think beyond the standard.
Yes.
My old pitching days come out in me.
Yes.
Tell me it's not possible. That's my motivator.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me I can't do it. Challenge me. I'll prove. I'll show you.
Yeah. I love in the word impossible, it says I'm. So impossible just takes a little longer. Well, thank you, Kim. We are out of time, and I appreciate you. And, you know, we want to shout out to Luxury Consignment and put Scott on the pipeline, Power Prayer. He had allergic reaction and was hospitalized this last week.
No.
At Baylor. So some sulfa drugs, antibiotics. So he is on the mend, but we love our Luxury Consignment store over there in Oaklawn in Dallas, Texas. And thank you, California Wine Connection, for making our fabulous red wine Rioja holiday selection. And again, we want to say hats off to our young entrepreneur, Karami, our Texas gal pal. She is vibing in our tribe with her new bamboo straw line, Sip to Life. And we want you to get in touch with us at surfing.cowgirl on Instagram if you would like to have the Catch a Wave bookmobile movement. You know, we don't have our bookmobile refurbished, but that doesn't mean we can't come to your little preschool or organization and bring our book fair. We want to put books and the gift of reading into young children's hands before they get a smartphone put in it. And my girl, Michelle Morris at Inspire on Purpose, my publisher, she is wanting to help me put books back in the hands of children who are passionate for reading. So again, contact us on surfin.cowgirl, S-U-R-F-I-N, surfin.cowgirl. Thank you for joining us at Catch a Wave, where the miracles can always be found in the timing. And Kim, so glad that you had a wonderful and safe trip, and hope you can be back with us next week. Be blessed.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.